Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. This evening I'd like to consider verses 9 and 10. The scriptures set forth concerning Abraham that by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, this evening we come before you realizing, Lord, we are needy people. And we ask you, according to your eternal purpose of grace and mercy to your people, that, Lord, would you bless the word tonight to the calling out, Lord, of those that are made to see their need of you. Lord, I pray that you'd comfort us. Help us to worship. Help us to see. Help us to hear. For Christ's sake. Amen. In our last study, we looked at verse 8 last time, and we saw and considered the call of Abraham. The scriptures says in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. Now when we consider that scripture, the call of Abraham, what we see in that beautiful picture is a type, is a picture of God's sovereignty, God's purpose, God's will, God's power to call out effectually those that he has everlastingly loved and chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we look back and we looked in the book of Genesis, and there was Abraham, there was his dad, Terah, there was his brother. And the scripture says that Almighty God called in particular Abraham. And he was pleased to pass by his father and his brother, and he called Abraham out of idolatry and left his dad and his brother, left them just exactly where God found them. Allowed them to do just exactly what they wanted to do. And in the day of God's power, the scripture says that Almighty God, who gave this man a new heart, Abraham, the scripture says, went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, Abraham was going to have to walk after God, waiting, seeking. But before we consider these next two verses, 9 and 10, I want us to consider a few points. Let me ask you this. Was Abraham's response and obedience in himself, was it without flaw? Here he was, called of God, called by the grace of Almighty God, but that flesh is still there. Abraham, the scripture says, left Mesopotamia, where God found him. He was living in a city called Ur of Chaldea, Ur of the Chaldees. And God called him while he was in Mesopotamia. And he told him, he said, I want you to leave. I want you to go where I'm going to show you. I'm going to send him over to Canaan. You know what happens. Because of that flesh, because of the presence of sin, how quickly do we recognize, as we do in ourselves, the battle that rages between the flesh and the spirit. The Lord had told Abraham, you get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And what happened? The scripture says that his dad, Terah, let him out. And Abraham went with him. And Sarah. And Lot. And his brothers. And they went to a place called Haran. And they dwelt there. And the scripture says they stayed there until his dad died. And then he left, according to Genesis 12:5. And he still didn't leave his kindred. He took Lot with him. Oh, how quickly do we see the failings of this flesh. But these things are recorded to show us the wretchedness of our own sinful heart and the mercy and grace and compassion of Almighty God to His elect in Christ. What did Abraham do that any other rebel wouldn't do? Nothing. He did just exactly what he wanted to do. But I will tell you this, don't ever let the recorded failings of others be an excuse for our own rebellion. I had somebody tell me that one time. I told you that recently. The marvel of this record of Abraham's sin, the marvel of it was God's mercy. Though Abraham failed, I will tell you this, there is no failure in our God and in His purpose in Christ. Oh, the unchanging faithfulness of Him who has everlastingly loved His own. Almighty God, the Scripture says for it, from before the foundation of the world, chose to show mercy to some. Out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue, and every one that He chose in Christ, He's going to call to Himself. He's going to save them. Every one that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to represent, He died for them. And He put away their guilt. He was buried with them. They being in Him, rose with them, is seated with them in the heavenlies right now. And Almighty God in Christ is pleased with them. Now, is He going to deal with them concerning a fatherly love and chastisement? Yes, He will. Yes, He will. But I'll tell you this, there is therefore no condemnation to those that be in Christ Jesus. Here was Abraham, chosen by God, instructed by God, left not in the way that God told him to do it. You listen to this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Psalm 103:10, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Almighty God, for Christ's sake, toward those that He's everlastingly loved and set His affection on, God Almighty shows mercy. Now, the Scripture says, verse 9, by faith, He sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Oh, I just read that last word, promise. Almighty God, for Christ's sake, has made a promise for those that He's going to show mercy to. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. You will not perish. You will not perish. Promise. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise. Now, I'm going to tell you, I went back just a few minutes ago and just kind of looked at a couple of pages after. The scripture says that Abraham left Haran. He left Mesopotamia, Ur of the Chaldees, went to Haran. From Haran, he went down and sojourned in Canaan. He did. By faith, the scripture says, sojourned in a land of promise. Here's God's record of Abraham recorded in Genesis. Abraham came and told the king, Abimelech, when he knew that Abimelech would have killed him, would have killed Abraham for Sarah. Sarah was a beautiful woman, the scripture says. And Abraham knew, he thought, this king will kill me for her. What did he do? He said, she's my sister. He lied. God prevented Abimelech from touching Sarah. Revealed to him, Abimelech came to Abraham. Why'd you tell me that? God had given him a promise. He said, I'm going to give you a son. Sarah was past the age of childbearing. I'm going to give you a son. Came to Abraham's tent before the Lord sent those two angels to Sodom. The Lord told Abraham, he said, Sarah's going to have a son. He said, I'm going to come back here next year. I'm going to visit her. She's going to have a son. Sarah laughed. We'll deal with this later. Sarah laughed into her inner self. The Lord said, why did Sarah laugh? Sarah said, I didn't laugh. Sarah later suggested to Abraham, I know what the Lord meant. He's going to give you a son. I'm going to give you my handmaid, Hagar. So Ishmael's born. You know, that's what Genesis says. This is what happened. This is the record. This is what happened. You know what the scripture says? Verse 9, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. You know the thing I notice? God never mentioned his rebellion. He never mentions his sin. Viewed him in Christ. Now, is this an excuse for rebellion? No, sir. No, sir. But I'll tell you this, in Christ, Almighty God, sins of His people, those that Christ was made sin for, He laid down His life for everybody, for all mankind? No. The Scripture says, John 10:15, I laid down my life for the sheep. Laid down His life for God's people, God's elect. He died for them, paid their debt. Cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. The Lord said, I'm not going to remember them anymore. And I read that precious passage of Scripture, and all it speaks of is Abraham's faith. By faith. We're struggling with the presence of sin. Abraham, just like all God's people do, sojourned, the Scripture says, in the land of promise. He stayed there as a foreigner. That's what he was. Temporarily. He wasn't from there, just like we do in this world. God had given Abraham a promise, but the time was not yet. And he, just like we do, we walk patiently, waiting, struggling, striving, by faith, believing God. There is two men in every believer. One that believes Him, the Scripture says, one that sinneth not, and there's one that is flesh and does nothing but sin. Abraham believed God. That's what the Scripture says. That's the epitaph of Abraham. What did God say about Abraham? Go back and read the record. We'll go, and Lord willing, soon we'll look what happened to Moses. Same thing. But here's what God says. Abraham believed the Lord. He believed God. God had given him a promise. Now let me ask you this. For us here tonight, has Almighty God said concerning His people that He has gone to prepare a place for them? I want you to turn to John 14. John 14. Amazing passage of Scripture right here. John 14, verses 2 and 3. John 14. John 14, 2. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now here He was talking to His disciples. He was telling them about heaven. In My Father's house, there's many mansions there. And He told them, I go to prepare a place for you. Now here's where He was going. He was getting ready to go to the cross. He was getting ready to lay down His life for His people. He was getting ready to suffer what they deserved in themselves. He would be made sin. That's what the Scripture says. He would go and under the judgment of Almighty God, He would put away the debt owed to God's law for all that the Father had given Him. He's going to pay their debt. And all that the Father had given Him died with Him in His mystical body, the body of Christ. Paul says, I was crucified with Him. I was there in Christ under the judgment of God in a substitute. And Almighty God put away by one sacrifice, and He hath perfected, the Scripture says, forever, them that are sanctified, set apart by God, made holy in Christ, made holy in electing. Almighty God sent His Son to prepare that place for them. He said, I go to prepare. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to be buried for you. I'm going to rise for you. I'm going to be ascended for you. And you will be in Me. I go to prepare a place for you. Did He say that He would soon return? Yes, He did. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. That where I am, there you may be also. If He takes us home tonight, if tonight's the last night, and how quickly and how soon we've been reminded lately how fast this world can be over. Just one breath, that's it. One breath. Withhold one breath from me. Never let me take another breath. And I'm telling you, in an instant, we'll meet God. Be over. I go to prepare a place. I'll come again. If He comes back before His second coming, He's coming back. His word is sure. Oh, by faith, we just sojourn in this world. This world is not our home. Now, you that know Him, you that believe Him, you that are striving against the flesh, against Satan, against this world, His word is not going to return void. It's going to accomplish the purpose for which He was sent. The Scripture says that Abraham, by faith, struggling just like we do, sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country. Those people were not his people. They were Canaanites, and Hittites, and Hivites, and the Jebusites. And Abraham had nothing in common with them. Nothing whatsoever. He didn't have anything to do with their false religion. He didn't have anything to do with their disrespectful attitude before God Almighty and His sovereignty. I know we've got to live in this world. I know that. But I'm telling you, we are not of it. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 15 to 18. Listen to this question that the Apostle Paul asked under the inspiration of God's Spirit. 2 Corinthians 6, 15. What concord, what harmony, what state of agreement hath Christ with Belial? I looked that word up today. Belial. You know what it means? Worthlessness. What harmony has Christ with worthlessness? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I dwell in them and walk in them, I'll be their God, they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you. I will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Listen, as I said a moment ago, I know that we live in this world. I know we do. I know you have to, you go to work every day, and I heard Brother Henry say this one time. I thought, this is so true, concerning a pastor. Now, I'm shielded from so much. I come to this church and I can sit down and I've got time just sit here and read and study and ask and pray and seek. But for those of you that's got to go to work every day, I know what you have to deal with. You deal with people that don't know God, that certainly have no respect whatsoever for the God of all grace. They have no respect for His sovereignty. And you're grieved. I know you are. And I know you have to live in this world, but you're not of it. You're not of it. You're sojourning in a strange country. And you're able to come a couple of times a week and meet together with God's people. It's like a breath of fresh air. Where you can sit down and just, somebody just, tell me what Almighty God has to say. Tell me what the Scriptures has to say about God's purpose and will. And God's election. Tell me how God Almighty sets forth Himself. Come out from among them. Be separate. As I've told you before, don't yield to the temptation. You might say, well, sometimes I want somebody to come and I'll go with you and you go with me. Don't go. Don't go. Don't go. Come out from among them. Don't go. I mean, you ask them to come. Somebody say, well, you think you're too good to come. Well, him, no. No, I don't think I'm too good for anything. There's none good. No, not one. I'm not saying I'm too good. I'm just not going to listen to somebody lie on God. That's just the way it is. I'm not going to go. Here was Abraham dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. Oh, look at the disposition of Abraham's heart. Dwelling in tabernacles. You know, obviously, according to these scriptures, the things of this world didn't draw him away from God. Scripture says he dwelt in a tent. He didn't go buy him a nice big fortified castle. He just stayed in tabernacles, trusting God, believing God for safety. It's not that God's people don't possess things that are necessary for life in this world. But the thing is, they just don't set their heart on it. Just the things and mess and stuff is not their heart. Nothing takes the place of worship of Almighty God. He just temporarily stayed here. Colossians 3:1-2, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Boy, we struggle with that, don't we? And not to anybody that says they don't, lying. Psalm 62:10, if riches increase, set not your heart on them. Well, I tell you what, riches have really exposed a lot of things, haven't they? Money really makes a lot. I mean, it brings out a whole lot. You find out that somebody just come into a bunch of money, just a bunch, and all of a sudden you'll... Not very many. That's where Abraham dwelt with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise. I know that salvation does not flow through the blood of our parents. It's not by blood. Not by the will of man, not by the will of the flesh, but of God. But here, the Lord was pleased to show mercy to Abraham's sons. Gave him two boys, Isaac and Jacob, all according to his will and purpose. Sojourned with them, same promise. And then verse 10, and we'll close. For he looked for a city, Hebrews 11:10, which hath foundations. He was living in tents, just living off the land, believing God, resting in God. And I tell you this, you look at the history of Abraham, the Lord made, that was a very wealthy man. Abraham had a lot of stuff. Abraham had a lot of stuff. But his heart wasn't set on it. The scripture says he looked for a city better than what he had. He knew this wasn't his world. This is not my home. This is not. He looked for a city which hath foundations, one solid and sure. He looked for a place that was built upon the foundation of Christ, upon God's word, God's promise, God's will, whose builder and maker is God. He knew that this world was a vapor. He knew that he wouldn't be here long. How many years? Look back on your life right now. As I said before, I remember just a very few years ago, I looked at all the other old preachers. And now I'm trying to look around, and most of the old preachers are my age group, you know, and not very far, not very long. 70, I think. Well, Abraham's heart was set upon things above, not on things below. He knew, according to God's promise, that his possession was not on this earth, by the grace of God. And I just reiterate that. By the grace of God, he was content to walk with a loose hand toward this world. That's a miracle of God's grace. But man, I read of somebody the other day, and here he was. He was bedridden. He was bedridden, trying to meet with a financial advisor, trying to see where he could reinvest while he was in a bed. Couldn't get up. Listen, let me tell you something. As I said recently, do you know how much we're going to leave when we leave this world? All of it. All. What is it going to matter then? What difference does it make what this world speaks of and allures with? Come do that. Come on. You don't have to worship God. It's not that important. Yes, it's that important. He believed God, walked with God, and looked for a city. Here was the city. Last verse. Revelation 21, verse 2. I'll read verse 1. Revelation 21, 1 and 2. John said, I saw a new heaven, a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city. Here it is, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This new city, this heavenly city, this city that has foundations, God's city, it's His people. It's His people. Adorned, the Scripture says, as a bride prepared for her husband in her perfectly glorified state, built upon a sure foundation, Christ the cornerstone, the rock Himself. Oh, the wonder of God's grace that Almighty God would give us a heart tonight to look around and see this world as a fleeting thing. Believing God, struggling just like Abraham did, and hating every moment of our disobedience. And looking for a city, that place wherein dwelleth righteousness. Lord, I know these things are so. Lord, I believe You. Help my unbelief, for Christ's sake. Amen.